Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now a critique of what New York City is becoming. A hollow city with no more theaters, neighborhood bars, or shoe repair shops, says my next guest. Jeremiah Moss, not his real name, we'll get to that, is collecting videos with the hashtag SaveNYC, asking Mayor de Blasio to preserve the cultural fabric of the greatest city on earth, as he puts it. Here's an excerpt from one of those videos featuring Craig Newman, owner of Penn Books in Penn Station.
I grew up in Brooklyn and Queens, and kind of when you were 18, 19, went to the Village, and it was exciting. And you saw all the little cafes, the mom-and-pop stores, what was a cigar store, what was a Burry's Cheese Shop, John's Pizza. And now I went there to meet my daughter, ironically, as the generations passed, and everything was turned into a chain store.
Craig Newman, owner of Penn Books and Penn Station, from one of Jeremiah Moss's Save NYC videos. Moss sees New York vanishing before his eyes. That's the name of his blog, Jeremiah's Vanishing New York. Let's hear his critique and some of his solutions, including a Small Business Job Survival Act, now before City Council. Jeremiah Moss, welcome to WNYC. Jeremiah, do we have you? Now I think I can hear you. Are you there? Hi. So your blog is called Vanishing New York. Start with the big picture. What's vanishing?
Well, what's vanishing really is the small businesses, of course, which make up the fabric, the texture of the streetscape, of the culture, as well as our cultural institutions, you know, artist institutions, dance studios. They're going at a rapid rate, and it's been happening now, you know, the past 10 years, the past 5 years, it's just getting worse and worse.
And usually this kind of critique focuses on housing, I think it's fair to say. But you seem even more concerned with rising rents for businesses. How much is that what got you going on Save NYC?
Well, that really got me going because, you know, I just think about walking down the streets in New York City and that feeling of walking down the street. And one block after another, there's this variety, there's this diversity, there's a diversity of signage, there's a diversity of the small businesses and what they bring to a community. And what we're seeing over and over is that these are just being really decimated, because what landlords want is they don't actually want small businesses. And what they're doing is, because small businesses have no rights whatsoever, they have no right to lease renewal, they have no right to negotiate a fair rent right now. What's happening is landlords are not just doubling the rent, but tripling, quintupling the rent, you know, multiplying it by 10 times, and it's crazy.
And we'll get to the details of the Small Business Survival Act and why you think it might help. But I want to play a soundtrack from another of your Save NYC videos. This one is very recent, from Essa Bagel, the bagel store on First Avenue that recently went out of business. Here's about a minute.
I'm here at Essa Bagel on First Avenue and 21st Street in Manhattan. It's been here for about 4 years, and they've just shut their doors to the dismay of these people outside with no definitive place to go. It's not due to lack of demand. It's due to a greedy landlord who would rather have a bank at this location, and it's a common story here in New York. This is Jack enjoying his last bagel here. He actually got the last bagel. And are you sad today?
Yeah. I've been coming here at least once or twice a week ever since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraged because I know they're going to reopen somewhere else.
You hope so.
And I hope so. But it's the end of an era. The last bagel is as good as the first one.
The last bagel is as good as the first one, says Jack, who's been eating there for 40 years. One of the videos in Jeremiah Moss's hashtag Save NYC video series. Well, who's your correspondent there? And do you want to talk about Essa Bagel as an example of something?
Yeah, Essa Bagel is a good example. It's been there since the 1970s. And from what I understand, you know, sometimes it's a murky piece of information, but the rent was raised, and the landlord is putting in a Bank of America. And this is what we're seeing over and over again, is we're seeing, you know, banks coming in. If you're on a corner, that's what's going to come in. And Essebago is hoping to, you know, find a new location, but nothing is definitive. And, you know, I have found over the years with small businesses, even when they find a new location, they often go out of business soon after. There was a hat shop on 8th Avenue in Times Square, lost their building due to eminent domain. The New York Times Tower took that space over, and the hat shop moved 3 blocks away. Their sales dropped 40%, and they're now a 7-Eleven. And they were a third-generation hat shop, been there for many decades. So even when they are able to relocate, they often just lose the customer base that they had.
Listeners, we can't make a video on live radio, but do you want to help tell this story by calling in? Tell us a story of vanishing New York. We just heard about Essebago, and we're going to hear another one from Park Slope coming up from the hashtag SaveNYC video series. And we heard the places mentioned by the owner of Penn Books from the Village, who fears he may be next, by the way, with the next round of Penn Station rent hikes. Help Jeremiah Moss document vanishing New York, or ask him a question. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You know what's interesting, Jeremiah? About half our board of people who've called in so far want to disagree with your premise. So let's talk to Hugh on the Lower East Side. Hello, Hugh.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
I wish I could say long time first time, but I have to say long time 43rd time, because I've called so many times.
Okay, good.
Very briefly, it's progress, man. It's the natural course of events. The reason we don't have the Roman Empire or the Indians on this island is because time passes. We voted Bloomberg in. There's the last caller had a hat shop uptown. The New York Times built their building there. Guess what? There's a new hat shop on Houston Street. You know, it's a natural course of events. It's tough. It's not nice, but it's life, man.
Hugh, thank you. Let's go to another one. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Yeah, you know, you're saying business is disappearing, but yet, you know, the young people at WeWorks, and, you know,
where's
they're
that?
Exploding. All these small, you know, people starting their own businesses.
Where do you work? What kind of businesses are you seeing?
I'm an accountant.
Uh-huh. And you're seeing accounting businesses or storefronts? Where do you see the growth?
Well, the WeWorks are you know, people small, you know, rent out small offices, and those are exploding. High-tech industries and stuff. Nobody's wearing it. When was the last time you put on a hat? People don't wear hats. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we live in a free economy, and things change.
David,
and market changes.
Thank you very much. All right. You're challenged. Talk to Hugh. Talk to David.
Okay, well, I've heard this argument about 1,001 times doing the blog over the years, and I find that it's it just doesn't wash. You know, this idea that this is normal change, the city's always changed, and that is true. But we had a kind of equilibrium, at least going back 100, 150 years. I mean, you can really trace it back that far, where you had, say, one immigrant group coming into the Lower East Side, for example, then they would do better and move out, and another immigrant group would come in. But you had an equilibrium where people could come in and get a foothold, and that's what small businesses are for a lot of people, a lot of immigrants, to come in and get a foothold and to move through. But what's happening now is what I like to call hyper-gentrification, which is really something very different. And the academic Neil Smith talked a lot about this. He called it third wave gentrification, which really is when city government and corporations collude together to recreate neighborhoods for the upper classes. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about organic, natural, same old change. We're talking about a very strategized, planned change of neighborhoods to push out small businesses, to push out working class, poor, and middle class people, and replace it all with corporations and a very different class of people.
Ruth in Brooklyn Heights is on your wavelength, I think. Hi, Ruth. You're on WNYC.
Thank you. I would disagree with the speaker's last comment. I have lived in Brooklyn Heights for almost 40 years, and I have seen Montague Street, which is about a five block long Main Street of Brooklyn Heights, mm-hmm. transformed from a street full of mom and pop into a mall. There's a Banana Republic, there's an Ann Taylor Loft, there's a bunch of phone stores, there's a Starbucks. The community bookstore was forced out years ago, and there's no replacement for it. I mean, it's just been turned into a mall, and this is a very wealthy neighborhood and has always been a very wealthy neighborhood.
Ruth, thank you very much. Let me go to another Brooklyn caller who owns a small business. Ben, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how are you, Brian?
Good. What kind of business do you have?
So I'm in the nightlife business. Me and my brother, we run four bars in Brooklyn.
Cool.
And we started about 10 years ago, so we're not super old school or anything. And one of our places is on Smith Street. Smith Street was already changing when we got here. But I did want to agree with the guest in that it all comes down to rent. Just like when you're talking about gentrification of a neighborhood and people not being able to afford their own rents, it's the same for a business. And I can't really blame the landlords too much because they want to make as much money as they can. And if they see a Starbucks open, you know, five blocks down the road, then they, when it comes time for a small place like us to renegotiate, you know, that's what they're thinking about. And it is just a fact of life, like some of your callers said. I mean, I'm not looking for a handout, and I don't want people to cry for us. It's just the reality is what makes a place like Carroll Gardens, Park Slope, cool. Well, for people like me that came here 10, 12 years ago, was the abundance of cool, small, interesting local places that engender a sense of community. And I'm not being melodramatic. That's very real.
And you think the vibrant and pretty affluent communities of Park Slope and Carroll Gardens would be devoid of those things? Like there wouldn't be enough demand to support places like yours, even with the rents?
Well, it's a sliding scale. It's not black or white. I mean, if you're paying $10,000 a month, you might be able to make it. But if, like I said, if the landlord, whenever your renegotiation comes up, if all of a sudden they want $15,000, I mean, the margins in small businesses, no matter what it is, nightlife, bookstore, whatever, they're not as great as people think. And it's always a struggle, and it really is. We get your hands dirty and stay involved and work long hours kind of a thing.
So there may be places to go out and drink in Park Slope and Carroll Gardens in a few years, but they might be the bigger chain places?
Well, it's a little nuanced. It is going to be bigger chain places, and it's also going to be places that seem from the outside to be small boutique-y places. But a lot of these newer, small-looking, boutique-looking places actually have large financial backers. And what I've seen is in the quote-unquote small bar business, you're seeing lots of new places open up that have huge money behind them. Because it's a whole kind of, it's a new style of bar, like these small boutique places, and there's huge money backing them. And I'm not attacking anybody or saying they don't have a right to do it.
And how do they make that money back, Ben? Do they serve things or charge different prices than you do?
They probably have economies of scale, and they, you know, because they're, I mean, I don't want to get into a whole economic discussion. But
no, but that's important.
You probably know what I mean.
Sure. If they're part of a chain, even if they seem to be a local boutique kind of place, then they can buy their alcohol or their whatever at economies of scale, large purchase rates, and therefore they can keep their margins higher. Right?
Exactly. Yep. And so all I'm saying is that, yeah, you're going to see less and less of that. If it's just a fact of life, like the caller said. You know. Also, one last comment is some of the callers were saying, well, wait a minute, I am seeing new businesses open up like a small hat shop on Ludlow or whatever somebody referred to before. That's true, but to a lot of passersby, what they don't understand is you will see lots of new small businesses open all the time, like walk down Smith Street year to year. There's always new ones. However, the turnover is what you have to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
Now, like I've been in it 10 years. Luckily, we've been able to get by. We have great customers and a great community that supports us. But it's the turnover. So it might look like there's new small businesses coming, but they just fail because they realize they haven't planned properly and they realize, wow, I can't afford this rent. And so while you're seeing new ones open up, you're seeing that same location was occupied by a different small one a year back. And so that is failure. That is not new businesses. That's not thriving community. That is just simply one failure after one failure after one failure.
Sure. And Ben, thank you very much. I really appreciate your call. I'm going to leave it there. And Jeremiah Moss, pretty sophisticated analysis.
That's a, well, he makes a really important point about the, at the end there, because you know we're looking at businesses that are being pushed out that have been here for 100 years, 50 years, 30 years, and they're being replaced by you know yogurt shops and things like this that, that aren't going to last more than a couple of years. And the rents aren't going up from 10,000 to 15,000. They're going from 10,000 to 40,000, 10,000 to 60,000. And I've seen this over and over and over again. This is an insane amount of rent, and the only businesses that could possibly afford it are the major chains. I'm talking about national and international chains, shopping malls, suburban stuff. They can afford it because what they do is they have loss leaders. You walk on Bleecker Street, there are five or six Marc Jacobs stores. Those are mostly billboards for that company.
Here's one more video from hashtag SaveNYC. This is from the Purity Diner in Park Slope. 30 seconds of the video you posted from there. The South Slope, to be precise.
This is Little Purity, and it's in the South Slope where lots of businesses are closing. And we really like it because it's very friendly, and it's family-run, and they always talk to like a five-year-old. It's a very special place.
She's making a movie about Little Purity?
And we want it,
can I be in it?
To survive.
The Little Purity Diner in Park Slope.
Bill closing? Bill's favorite diner, by the way.
Really? Closing or trying to survive?
I think they're doing okay.
Before you go, I do want to touch on the bill that a lot of your stuff comes back to before the city council called the Small Business Job Survival Act. What's in it?
Absolutely. So this has been around since the 1980s, and it basically gives tenants, commercial tenants, the right to negotiate equally with landlords for reasonable lease renewals. And it includes arbitration. So I'm not a lawyer. I won't be able to explain it very well, but you know, Gail Brewer came up with a plan this week that really is going to
the Manhattan Borough President,
right, and that plan is really going to make things worse for small businesses. It's mediation only, which means that it's voluntary and it's not binding, and all it really does is give a 1-year extension with a 15% increase of rent, so the business can find another place and the landlord can find a Starbucks to put in there. The Small Business Job Survival Act is binding. It's you know uses arbitration and it really is you know it has stood up. It is constitutional. It is legally sound. We have 10 council members supporting it. We have 16 supporting it, and we need 10 more. And it got very close to passing. You know, Christine Quinn killed it, and it's Annabelle Palma's bringing it back up. And
is the new progressive speaker Melissa Mark Viverito for it?
You know, I don't think she's really come out either way at this point. So we're putting a lot of pressure on her, putting a lot of pressure on the city council. We're tweet bombing the city council every day, and we're doing a lot.
So what you really want is a form of commercial rent control to tell the landlords you cannot charge the market rates, the best profit that you can make on your property, if that means renting it to more Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and everything else?
It's not commercial rent control. And in fact, from what I understand, years ago when there was a bill that was mediation without arbitration, it led to commercial rent control. This is a different policy. And there's a guy named Steve Null. He wrote the original one. He can explain this so much better than I can. But basically, it's about you know getting the landlord and the tenant to negotiate and to come up with a fair lease increase.
I gather, by the way, that Jeremiah Moss is not your real name. Why are you doing this under a pseudonym?
Well, it is my real name. It's just not on my birth certificate.
Uh-huh.
It's a pen name. I do it under a pseudonym because, you know, I have another life. I have a job that I don't want to have affected. I like my privacy, and I've found that I kind of like being a kind of a Batman. You know, there's something about that lends a sort of mystery to it that I think helps the cause.
New York's new Bruce Wayne. Who will Jeremiah Moss turn out to be? Maybe he's really Alec Baldwin or Sarah Jessica Parker. More important, what will New York turn out to be? See his blog at Vanishing New York. Post a hashtag Save NYC video if you want. Thank you very much for joining us.